we go. It's John Curley, Sherry Elicker Show. All are welcome on a Friday. Let's get Sherry in here with a truncated version of her song. There she is. Wow, that's the really short version of the song. Sherry, hello on a Friday. You ready?
I'm ready.
All right, diving in, Linda. All right. Wow. Pride of Ingram High School. Quarterback. Center. I haven't seen this man in person since I was on that court with Dory Monson. As Jay Inslee was dominating down below. Are you on there, Governor?
I am. You had to bring up when Dory beat me in a horse game. It's a terrible memory. I mean,
No. Governor. It wasn't horse. The reason you're blocking this out.
It was one-on-one.
So if anybody doesn't know, they weren't there that day. So we play full court for like 2 hours. And then Dory's like, hey, let's go one-on-one. Well, it started out okay. But I mean, it was hard to watch at the end. Both of you playing one-on-one.
This is the one thing Dory had in common with Barack Obama. They both rained threes on me.
Okay, so. Oh, look at you. Little humble brag, no brag. All right. Hey, Governor, I heard you were listening. Somebody's listening. So we were talking the other day about the electric ferries, the hybrid ferries, and the ferry system. And you had reached out and said you wanted to say something, or at least let me know more about it, because I'm just trying to glean the stuff I can get from the Times and other places. So what do we need to know? Because obviously, this is a big problem for people that are taking the ferry, that they're not running on time, and they just want to know, when are we able to get reliable service? And what do you want to say about the electrification of the ferry system?
First off, thanks for caring about it. There's a lot of frustration justified for this, and you know, I'm a ferry user too, so we're all frustrated by this. We want to get boats in the water as soon as we can. Now, here's the one thing that I'd like people to know. We are getting boats in the water as fast as humanly possible. There are 5 electric boats that we now are going through the RFP process on to get them in as fast as humanly possible. And there have been some folks who've argued that we should abandon the current plan of having electric drive boats and go to diesel. The problem with that is that will actually slow down the process. It's not faster. It is slower. And the reason is, well, 2 reasons. One, you'd have to start the whole process of bidding again, and that could delay the situation a year or maybe even 2. The second is that diesel technology really isn't any faster to install than the electric boats. The electric boats are really now mature technology. I've ridden them in Norway. They're working great. The crews love them. The people love them. I've seen there's a large one now getting ready to go in the water down in Tasmania that's going to serve Uruguay. That's about the same size as ours.
Right.
So it's really a mature technology. So the one thing I wanted to share with you, because I think there is some misconception that by switching from our current plan, which of electric drive boats to diesel, would make it faster. In fact, it would make it slower. So it is something that's been considered, but it just is not a solution for us right now. And we are urging the ferry service to go as fast as humanly possible. We've got about 15 potential bidders because, as you know, we've opened it up for construction nationwide because we hope to get more bidders in that regard. That's a new change in our law we passed last session.
Right. So the bids are due in August, and then the award contract is going to come in October. It'd probably take 2 years to build it. Plus, you have to also include in there the infrastructure. So you look at the Coleman Dock. The Coleman Dock, as I've read, is not big enough in order to have the infrastructure to charge. So they're going to have to take it Pier 48. They're going to have to put all the infrastructure stuff down there and then run the cables over the Coleman Dock in order to have that thing charged. Here's a question for you. Since it's going to be hybrid, let's say the thing goes, it picks up everybody, and it's heading back over to Bainbridge. It has a light load. It could easily turn around quickly and head back over. But let's say it needs to charge, but it takes 20 minutes to charge. So now it's charging for 20 minutes. Now that's time, right? So now we could possibly be delayed. Does it then decide, you know what, we don't have time to charge on the other side, so let's just run diesel back and forth? So it is one of these things where how much is the total cost? Because what you're trying to reduce is about 309 million pounds of carbon, which 15 million gallons of diesel puts out. That's how much carbon comes out of the thing. So you're trying to reduce all that carbon. How much money are you spending to reduce all of that carbon, right? And is it money well spent? I guess that's the question, Governor.
Well, the ferry service can give you a real detailed assessment.
Right.
But they have looked at that. They believe it's cost effective, and I think they have realistic plans. And I think your operational concerns are very legitimate. That's why I take a look at what they're doing in Norway. And they have found they can have the same operational tempo as they did with the old diesel boats. We're confident we can do the same thing in our system.
Yeah.
And so what I'm saying is that those are all legitimate questions, but the ferry service has really asked themselves. And I think, again, there's a benefit of going second when there's new technology. You know, I might have felt differently if this had never been done before.
Right.
But because of the success of Norway, there's one going in Britain, too, as well. So I think we're at the place where we have enough maturity to have good confidence on it. And you're right. There has to be significant investments in the charging infrastructure, but we have the financing to do that right now. I'm happy to do it. Now, this comes through the Climate Commitment Act, so we have a way to finance this.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm happy. We want to build those boats. Believe me, people want boats in the water. I do, too. So I just wanted to clarify that with you.
I get that.
I'm appreciative of you being interested in it.
Listen, Governor, I get it. I understand. Once you're sort of heading down that road, you put all the time and money into it. But what do you say to the people that are waiting for the boats now? Because we're still looking 10 years out. You declared it in 2018. We're not going to get the boats till 2028. For the people that are trying to live their life, as you do back and forth from Bainbridge or people going to Bremerton, what do you say to them now? Just be patient?
I would say that they have the same frustration that their governor does. I experience the same frustration. I'm with them on it. What I would say is it's real, it's justified, and we're going as fast as humanly possible.
Okay.
What happened is we got delayed about a year or two, probably 2 years, because we were going to build them domestically with the Vigor Shipyard.
Sure.
And we had the guy who was really into this. He was totally committed to it. But then they sold the company to a hedge fund, and the hedge fund guys, frankly, are not that interested in that particular program. So we couldn't reach a deal with them. They refused to give us a guarantee of the boat. And so we had to open it up. And that delayed us 1, maybe 2 years. And that was really unfortunate.
Right. Well, Vigor actually quoted you $400 million. Went back to the legislators. They said, oh, no, forget it. Absolutely not. We can't build a boat for that. Now, Vigor knew that they were only game in town because they wrote the law that you have to build the boat here. So they're like, why not charge $400 million? So the legislator says, we're not doing that. So that goes back out. And then now we go through this whole process till finally we get somebody to build the boat, right?
Yeah, the bigger problem was their refusal to stand by the product and give us a performance guarantee. That was the bigger problem.
Right.
I will just tell you, if Frank continued to own that company, we would have been 2 years ahead of the schedule. I believe that.
Okay.
So we'll leave it at that.
Okay.
The frustrations are real. All I want you to know is we're going as fast as we can.
Okay.
Of course, we want to get those boats out there.
Got
Thanks
it.
Thanks for letting me see a little
Thanks,
bit,
Governor.
Enjoy
All righty.
The afternoon.
You
okay.
too. Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye-bye.
There we go. Mm-hmm. Sherry, are you there?
Yes.
You want to talk boats? The one question I wanted to question was that, and Todd Myers gave me this one. He said, listen, according to state law, it is required that you use 20% of biodiesel. And right now they're only using 8%. So if they wanted to save some, you know, carbon and stuff, they could use biodiesel and they could use it. Right now they're using 8, so they could kick that up a little bit, but I think the governor wanted to come on to make sure that, because he knows it was a big deal that Bob Ferguson, this is like the back and forth of inside baseball, that Bob Ferguson had said, maybe we should do diesel. We should go diesel. Maybe we should be doing that. So Jay didn't like the fact, I think, that Bob kind of threw him a little bit under the previously unconstructed ferry. And was just making sure everybody knows that, nope, we're going to get this thing. So just hang on. The difference between the people that are frustrated sitting at the dock at Bremerton and the governor being frustrated. Yes, you're both frustrated, but the people standing there at the dock can't do anything. They have no power, right? So you're both frustrated, but hey, why don't you fix it or do something for us? So that's what you get. All right, Sherry?
Yes?
You didn't get a chance to play your whole song and stuff. All right, let's do this. The Utah man that, by the way, we also did stories. We had so much news today, Sherry. We're going to get some people on here to talk about the grizzly bears that are coming, and then Mark Mullett's going to be joining us because there's this crazy thing that happened in the Democratic Party in the state of Washington. Did you read about this? You read this, didn't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So what they're basically saying to Mark, they're saying to candidates, hey, those of you that want to run for governor, if you'd like us to be all in and do all of your marketing for you and all of your campaigning for you and everything, door knockers and door, you know, people volunteering and shaking hands and kissing
yard
babies.
Signs?
We'll do all that stuff for you. Yard signs. We'll do it all for you. All you got to do, because it's going to cost us a lot of money, just give us $1 million and you'll be all in on that. We'll take care of it from there. So what do you think there, Mark Mullett, who we know does not have the money? Or what do you think, Bob Ferguson? Oh, Bob's got the money? What do you know? Okay, I guess Bob's going to get it. So Mark Mullett's going to come on and go, wow, that doesn't, I assume he's going to say it doesn't seem fair.
But isn't that politics? I mean, politics is about how much money you have to spend and how much support you can get. And you can either buy it from the Democratic Party and the package they're offering, or you can spend it on an ad agency or some kind of political, you know, public relations group.
Right.
But that's politics.
It is politics. But in this case, there's the Democratic Party in the state of Washington saying, we will do this for you, but in order to kind of buy in, you have to give us $1 million, right? Knowing, this is where I think it gets a little stinky, knowing that Mark Mullett doesn't have the million. So they're basically saying at this point, give us $1 million and you will be our candidate, knowing full well that Mark doesn't have it, knowing full well that Bob Ferguson has it. So here's my speculation. Guess whose idea this was?
Bob Ferguson's?
Yes.
Oh.
Right. It's like, hey, I got an idea. One way we can get him out of there is just let's set up this little thing. You got to buy in. That's my take.
Even if they didn't do that, I mean, he could have spent $1 million on his own ad stuff. He could have hired all kinds of companies and consultants and things like that.
Mark Mullett could, and he still can. Right. Right.
Yeah. And so could Bob Ferguson. He doesn't necessarily need the Democratic Party to do that. If he wants to spend $1 million, he can spend it anywhere that he wants to.
Right. But now what you do is you have the full force of the Democratic machine behind you. And it's like saying, in order to get on board our boat, our ferry, our Democratic ferry, you have to, the admission ticket is $1 million, right? Knowing that the other guy doesn't have the million and can't get on the boat. If they didn't have the boat pull up, both of these guys would be battling it out, right? Spending their money where they want, doing it on their own. So along comes the boat, and the boat says, give us $1 million, you can come on. And Mark Mullett's like, I don't have $1 million. Oh, that's too bad, right? Why was it $1 million? Why couldn't it be a little lower or something like that? Then they try to justify, but this is what you're going to get for $1 million. Again, who, to use the analogy of the boat, who built the boat? I think if you look on the back of the boat, it's registered a guy named Bob Ferguson. Who came up with this? This is just speculation because it's very, very smart. And so is Bob Ferguson. Hey, you know what? Let's do this. I know how we can get Mark Mullett out of this thing. Let's just make the pay-to-play be so high he ends up bailing.
Do you think he thinks Mark Mullett is a threat?
Absolutely. Yeah. Because people like Mark Mullett. They don't know him, but they like his policies, and they don't like Bob Ferguson. He's polling at about 41-42%. And if Mark Mullett if it's Mullett against Ferguson, Mullett just wipes the deck with him. Absolutely, because he'll get Republicans, independents, and Democrats that don't like Bob Ferguson. See, he doesn't want to go head-to-head with Mark Mullett. And now I think what they see is, hey, a little bit of problem there with Riker and Byrd. Maybe that stuff starts to fall apart a little bit. We do not want to face Mark Mullett in the primary. That's my take.
Who funded the initiative signing, the signature gatherer?
Oh, Brian Hayward.
You think he'd ever throw some money behind a Democrat?
He's putting a lot of money through another initiative that could be coming up at 5 o'clock tonight. We'll find out. And that involves, the gas hookup to, you know, natural gas, that thing. So if he can come up with $2 million, that's going to be on the ballot as well. So anyway, we'll see what Mark has to say, man. It's so political today. We've been on the air now for 20 minutes. No one has broken wind. Sherry.
Not me. No.
Joe.
There we go.
There you are.
Know-it-all quiz. Don't forget.
I'm not in the mood for that.
Well, it's a couple hours away, but we got to get a contestant.
Oh, if somebody could just break wind one more time. All right. The know-it-all quiz coming up at 5:30. All you got to do is enter the whole fart sounds in with the governor.
I couldn't do that over him, man. He's the governor, after all.
Oh, yeah. It's funny, man.
As much as I would want to.
All right. Don't forget, yes, the know-it-all quiz, 5:30. You get a chance to get on the air to play Teeny Tiny Lady right over there. She's being quiet to the governor's interview. Thank you, Tina. Here you are. Sherry, you know what? I heard that. And she did, too. She wears teeny tiny heads. No, you went,
Well, I mean, that's nothing unusual. I usually am not very receptive. Oh, yes,
I got this,
do.
Teeny. I got this. I'd like an apology.
No. I didn't do anything. I didn't right. make a remark. I didn't say anything disparaging.
Andrew, can you find the sound that she had made previously? Because we have just one more minute. Sure, I hate to bring this up, but we shouldn't be airing your dirty panties in public like this.
Gross.
But I mentioned Teeny, that she's going to choose the letter of the day, that she's going to help out with the know-it-all quiz, and then there's this little sound that you make occasionally, and it adds up. It's not the first time. Not the last time, but again, bringing it up.
I would like to hear the proof of that. I don't think I made a sound.
Andrew?
Here we go. I think I see. Here it's pretty quiet, but it is there. I heard
yes.
it.
Yes. Here you are. thank you.
Please.
There we go. Fine. 1-888-973-5476. Text line, that is the Muckleshoot Casino Resort text line. Everyone is welcome. Oh, no, Diane Duthweiler had a question I was supposed to ask the governor.
Gosh, that is my wife.
It
wasn't me, it was Diane.
Oh, I'm sorry there. Diane's question was, why not make Starbucks get rid of drive-thrus because they're so bad for the environment?
Oh, such a great question. That's ask myself that so every day.
So many questions. Here we go on a Friday with the John Curley Sherry Elliker Show. Teeny's going to get the letter of the day. Don't forget, know-it-all quiz coming up at 5:30. One interesting thing about yourself to Joe. It's 1-888-973-5476. Win the know-it-all quiz. A whole box of Bite Me cookies. Oh, look who's coming on. But first, here's his song. Mark Mullet, where's your money? Where's your money, Mullet? If you want to play the game, you better have some money.
I thought you were going to play Wham.
I had Wham. I was going to. Good Lord. All right. I saw this article. I was like, oh my God. Did I not read this correctly? Sherry and I both read this. And she's like, well, isn't that just the way it works in politics for people who don't know is in the Seattle Times? Democratic Party of the state of Washington said, hey, listen, we want to support our candidates. We want everybody. We're driving towards the goal. We've got big, 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 big plans. Here's the way we're going to support you. We'll do all of this for you. All you have to do is give us $1 million if you're running for the governor. So I guess they looked at your pot of money and you got $1.5 million where they know how much Ferguson has. So it's like at this point, they're saying to you, you can't pay, so you can't play, and they're trying to shut you out. That's what it looks like, Mullet.
I mean, it's a very unprecedented move, and I'm not sure what the Ferguson campaign role in this whole thing was, but all I know is it's not happening in the Attorney General's race. You have Monica Dingra against Nick Brown as a Democratic primary. It's not happening in the Kitsap congressional race between Hillary France and Emily Randall. Yeah, Commissioner of Public Lands, there's a lot of Democrats running. So I think what's really bizarre here is that they're choosing just to weigh in on the Ferguson race. And yeah, it's like it hasn't happened before. This is very unprecedented to have, you know, this sort of thing where it's like, hey, give us $1 million and we'll promote you in our literature, even though there's still a primary going on the Democratic side.
Right. I looked on Google. I can't find any other state, Republican or Democratic Party, that had done something like this before. And Sherry said, what'd you say, Sherry? Well, this is what politics is all about with money, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, it seems like it kind of goes to the highest bidder anyway. And my question to you, Mark, is that you've raised about $1.1 million. You have about $530,000 in available cash. They wanted $500,000 by, was it June 1st?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And then, but they offered, what they offered was, but, you know, full campaigning support, all the things, you know, yard signs and stuff. Did you ever consider that maybe it was worth it?
No, it was.
No?
I thought this whole thing was a little nuts. And so I don't think anybody's party support or endorsement should be for sale from the party. I'm never going to support any sort of game that plays that way. And to me, the party's there to support Democrats when they're running against Republicans. And I think it seems bizarre to me that they're weighing in on this race. But like I said, this is I mean, Bob Ferguson's been running for governor for the last decade, it seems like. And I got in the race last year, and I don't think he likes having me in the race, to be honest.
Right. So you should look on the bright side. Mark Mullett running for governor as a Democrat. They fear you so much, they've done something unprecedented in order to stop you.
Yeah, I think there is. I think Bob's really nervous in the sense that he knows if I make it out of the primary in the top two that I will beat him.
Oh, yeah.
And so I think this is what's driving a lot of this is how do we get the party instead of waiting to weigh in until after the primary? Because after the primary, this election, you know, Bob will be in deep trouble. So it's right now they're trying to weigh in earlier than they normally would. And I think that's what's really unusual.
You know, I was thinking if, let's say maybe they saw some of the problems between Reichert and Byrd. Maybe they think, you know, they'll both hurt each other enough that then Mark Mullett slides into the position, and then it's Ferguson against Mullett in the final there, the primary. Because you will win all the Republican votes, you will win the independent, and you'll get the Democrats that don't trust Bob Ferguson.
There's a lot of those.
I know.
There's a lot of Democrats that don't trust Bob Ferguson.
I mean, more than 60%.
A lot of them.
You will wipe the floors with this guy. It may be really, really embarrassing because the coronation is supposed to take place. It's supposed to be Bob Ferguson. Do you think, and this is nuts stuff, and I know Dave Riker and stuff, but if Riker's looking along sometime in July, looks at the polls and realizes, oh, God, this is just not working for me because they just are slamming away. They're going to get him on the Trump stuff and the abortion stuff and all this other stuff. If he looks at it, he goes, you know what? I'd rather have the state of Washington in the hands of someone like Mark Mullett than Bob Ferguson. And if Dave ends up deciding, you know, what's best for the state and ends up turning it over to you, I mean, there's no stopping you.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I can't control those sort of events. But what really bothered me, I think, is Ferguson was openly critical of, I think he called it, quote unquote, the dark money involved with the Republican convention and everything else. And I was like, you are in no place to criticize what happened to the Republican convention. Like, you just bought the Democratic support for $1 million. Granted, when he was saying all this stuff earlier in the week, nobody knew what had happened.
Right.
But this is what really kind of made my blood boil a little is Bob was trying to take the high road and say, oh, look at how we're doing over here. Like, I'm so much better than how the Republicans are doing it. And it's like, no, your stuff happened in the back room. And I think it was really frustrating for me to watch. And I'm glad at least now everything's out in the open.
I think this is actually good for you, you know, because it's jujitsu. You take the energy of the opponent. So it's like, okay, you've done that. Well, if I just make it public and tell everybody that these guys with Bob Ferguson have basically said, you have to pay for it. You got to put $1 million in, knowing I don't have it, as a way of shutting me out because they're afraid of what I represent and the things I want to do. So here I am. If you come in, you know, as the underdog on this and the big power, the big dark money, the forces of the Democratic Party, they want to keep the party going in the same direction it's going now. You can use that to your advantage.
Yeah, 100%. And I think it also highlights, I don't remember last when Bob's campaign first started, it was really, you know, there's a lot of transparency violations where he tried to transfer over all the millions of dollars from when he was running for AG. And then he got called on it. He finally had to release the fact that he did have a bunch of donors who were way over the $4,800 limit. So he had to return like $1 million. Well, Bob can literally go back to those exact same donors now and say, hey, remember that money I gave you back? No, you can send that money to the state party and it'll get back to me, like through this new route we've created, right? So it's kind of a way for him just to kind of circumvent all those violations he had last spring where he wasn't playing by the intent of the law by honoring the fact that you're supposed to limit individual contributions in a statewide election to $4,800. He's kind of opened up another lane here where he can get those people to support him through the state party.
It's tough, but I'm telling you something. Here's the big question. Why aren't you a Republican? Because I know you eat with the Republicans. I was talking to a couple of friends. He went down there. He's like, where's Mark Mullett? It's like being in prison. Oh, Mark Mullett's over sitting with the Republicans. You don't even often dine with the Democrats.
No, I eat with everybody. I drink with everybody. I get along with both sides. And I always say with Democratic values, it's women's reproductive rights, the support of the LGBT community, acknowledging climate change is real. Like, those are three values to me. They're at the core of my political being.
Yeah.
And those are important values. They're not just important to me. I actually think they're important to the majority of the residents in Washington State. It's just at the same time, I'm never going to vote for unnecessary tax increases. And I'm never going to sit by and say our current state of public safety is acceptable because it's not. So we have to make progress on these issues of making sure we're not unnecessarily taxing people so they can't afford to live here anymore. And we have to be a better financial partner with cities and counties so we can actually make progress on public safety. And I think, you know, that message, I think Bob's afraid that as voters actually learn where their options are, that they're actually going to line up with my profile a lot more than his profile. And this is what makes me optimistic as we go forward.
So you're not dropping out. You're not going to file for something else. You're still going to stick in there as a governor Democrat.
I think Ferguson started that rumor. Where that rumor came from.
Wow. The guy's cunning. Rob McKenna's evil twin.
Okay, you got it. If you're going to end up, you got to go back to the Wham soundtrack. Yeah, that's better than the Mamma Mia stuff. Come on.
Mark Mullen, your Democratic governor, or hope to be governor anyway. We'll see what happens with the dark money out there, casting a big, big dark cloud on you. Yes, Mullen, we can do. By the way, 6 kids. What the hell?
I know.
I like my cigars, but wake me up. All right, Mullen. Go have a great weekend.
Every radio interview should end with Wham. It's the way to do it.
Oh, boy. Now you're going to get all the votes. All right. Thanks, Mark Mullen. Appreciate it. Have a good weekend.
You do. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I don't know. Wake me up before you go-go? I mean, it's like, what, the people are asleep? Is that what basically?
It's the insinuation.
Yeah, that's happening there. Gosh, I got to write the quiz questions. We got to get Sherry.
Yes.
I haven't had a chance to hear your dulcet tones of the whole show. I got to get you on there. Hang on.
Wow, I wonder why.
Oh. Now you're standing up and leaving. All right, Sherry. I saw this story. I thought of you because does it bother you when you see that I write this word or you hear this word?
No. No, I don't know what all the fuss is about. Why do these people have PTSD over that word?
Does it bother you, Joe?
No, because I do it too. It's for a second, I'm like, hey, what's mm-hmm. with the hey? But yeah. I also find myself doing it.
But we're out of time. We don't have time to talk about the word. Let's go to Nate, the big up on your show. Kidding, Nate. No, not so fast. Look at him. He's so quick to get on the mic.
I was ready, buddy.
You don't have 3 minutes of traffic, do you?
I can repeat.
No, this guy, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, if I was sober, no.
Oh.
Wow.
Good for you.
Yeah, sure is.
He'll be down there.
Okay. The word is hey.
Yes. And when people, I guess, because the millennials and the Gen Zs or whoever they are, they have their own rules, of course. And so it's called hey hanging. And that's where someone just says, hey. And then you're thinking, what do you want? What's the hey? And it leaves people wondering, are they in trouble? What do they need to do? Because a lot of people will just say hey and then not get back to them for another 2 hours.
What do you mean? It's a text or it's a Slack or it's an email? Someone just says, hey?
Well, what you're talking about is a sprayer. A sprayer is when you do hey with an email message, a call, I guess an instant message, all of those things. That's when somebody just wants to find you no matter what. But yeah, it's a technique that some people want to just get your attention, know that they're wanting to talk to you about something, but they're not going to give it all away in one message. And people say that, you know, what they would prefer is just ask the question.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to find something out, just ask it. Don't start with, hey, that's not really a conversation starter, but that's what people that use it, that's how they justify it.
And it's Gen Z, Gen X people that are most triggered by it?
Isn't it always? Poor kids.
Yeah.
I didn't read the article as diligently as Sherry did.
Diligently. You mean more than the first sentence?
I don't do that. I want to clarify. I do not do that.
Okay. All right.
I find it incredibly annoying because they're trying to box you into engaging and being present and having a conversation without revealing to you what the contents is. Whereas if they just ask a question, you could sit back and think about it, take as much time as you need.
But if you get a hey, then you're nervous as to what the next thing is?
Well, they just want you to engage.
Oh. Well, just do what I do, right, Sherry?
What is that?
It's just never check your email.
Well, that's one way to avoid the hay hanging.
Thank you.
But yeah, people are saying, I guess it's when you just say, hey, and they think, okay, I'm just getting your attention. And then they take so long to get to the real meat of it. That's what frustrates people. Like, what am I in trouble? Are you mad at me? Why are you just saying, hey?
I see. All right. Because it's one of these things, if you don't properly, like, for instance, somebody says to write to me, and the answer is yes. I just write Y, just the letter Y. And they'll write back, well, because I'm asking if you'll make it to this thing or not. And I'll write back Y. And they'll write the same thing again. And it's just me. I just refuse to tell them that Y stands for yes.
Wow.
Well, if you're speaking a different language than them, it might be a good idea to let them in on it. I don't know.
I just won't give them the whole thing. I want Ben to figure it out. And they're like, oh, I see. Y stands for yes. Oh, shush, Joe.
Don't do that.
Yeah, SJ. Shush, Joe. All right. Sherry, should we check with Nate now?
Oh, yeah. He's ready because he had 3 minutes to do, and now he's got 30 seconds. But
he's also sobered up.